And so there were two churches started, actually three, and the first church is running over 100 now. One of the men that we went on the team with, he now handles that church. And the second church is running about 160 on average. And each church goes soul winning every week, just like this church. We see between 30 and 50 people saved, just out visiting. We call it door to door, but a lot of the houses don't have doors. And so we just go from place to place, and often to busy markets and different areas where the people converge. And the country is mostly Buddhist. And of course, there aren't as many Buddhists here in America, but there's a lot of temples in Thailand, and they're Buddhist temples. It's a very confusing religion. Some of the very commandments that preacher preached on this morning, they violate. They don't do it out of hate for God. It's just because they don't know any better. And they pray down, bow down to idols. They burn incense. They have a lot of superstitions that they follow. And a lot of it is just family tradition. They've been doing it for 300 or 400 years. And so they're just kind of born into it. And it's kind of like a lot like being a Catholic. I learned so much more about Catholicism after I became a Baptist and started really studying the Bible and figuring out, you know, some of the things that are different. And the same is with Buddhism. They are quick to get saved, a lot of them. They're looking for the truth. They understand about sin. They understand about hell. But they don't have the answer of Jesus Christ coming to save them from their sins and believing in Him to go to heaven. And so when they do, we get all different levels of growth. Some come to church right away and just take off and get rid of all their false idols and necklaces and things. And others, it takes time. And so there's every level of growth in the church. Right now, where we work in Hua Hin, the church is about half Burmese people and about half Thai. And we're only about an hour from Burma, so we get some Burmese refugees that come over. And there's about five different groups in Burma. And the group that most comes to our church is the Karen group. And that's kind of what we highlighted in the video. I worked a lot with the Karen people. Those people were reached by Adoniram Judson. You know, many generations ago, and Adoniram Judson's church is still in Burma. I haven't been to it, but friends of mine have, and so they have a deep tradition of Christianity, and so there's a really unique flavor at the church. You've got Thai people that are just learning about church and learning about Jesus, and then you've got some Karen people that knew about Jesus, but maybe they don't have the truth 100% because just like anywhere, the churches get diluted down over there and things, the message can get lost. But in any case, we want to give the rest of our lives to Thailand. We've been there 7.5 years already. We have a good grasp of the language. And the Lord has really planted our hearts there. We were supported by one church for 100% of our support, which was a missionary's dream. It never changed every month for 7.5 years. But they're not able to do that anymore. They've let us know for a good time now that it was gonna we were gonna have to come back and raise our support like a normal missionary would. And so we're about 5 or 6 months into it. And Pastor, thank you again for having us. And we'd love to answer any questions that you have in back. Of course, a lot of you have already asked a lot of questions. I can tell it's a very missions-minded church, and it's fun to be around all of you in that respect. So. If you got your Bible tonight, I want to read some verses to you, and we'll get into some preaching. I want to try to help you tonight. I'm not going to try to redefine any doctrines or, you know, go down a real narrow path. I want to encourage you. And so, if you could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to read a couple familiar verses here and expound a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and if you found that, you can go ahead and stand, and we'll read two verses together, 15:57 and 58. I'm in Romans. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Yeah, you got there way before I did. I would have lost the sword drill there. 15:57, 58, and we'll read it together. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And we'll pray. Father, thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful group of Christians, Lord, who love you, who have came to hear the preaching tonight. Lord, I pray that they'd be encouraged. I pray, Father, that if there's a decision that needs to be made, that you would stir the hearts and give us safety throughout the week, Lord, and help us, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I told you a little bit about my testimony, and one of the things I didn't tell you was when I was 5 years old, I was going to Sunday school there at the Catholic Church, and they presented the story of Adam and Eve, and even the Catholic folks can get that story pretty close, and but the teacher, he was kind of a wimpy guy, not real strong, and he showed the story of Adam and Eve. And then he showed, he told us that not everybody believes that, and that we can choose which story or what path we want to go. And I looked over at the little girl next to me. Her name was Anita, a little Hispanic girl, and I said, Anita, I'm going to take God's path. I'm going to believe in God. And this is as a five-year-old young man, and I remember that in my life. It was kind of a pivotal moment. Like, I'm going to choose the Lord. And I can't emphasize enough to the Sunday school teachers and nursery workers working with those children how important that is. That moment in my life is almost like a root for me that defined the tree that grew in my life. And, of course, Jesus is all about the children. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. We read over in Matthew chapter 18, and Jesus expounds quite a bit. You're welcome to turn there, Matthew chapter 18. And Jesus, verse 2 of Matthew 18, and Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And verse 4 says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so I like to think of that verse because it's easy as we become adults and become more knowledgeable and study the Bible to lose that childlike humility that made some defining moments in our life. And, of course, as a missionary, when you show up in a land where they don't speak English, it's very humbling. It's almost like, in a sense, you enter maybe into retardation world because you're studying children's books to learn the language, and you're having a difficult time communicating with people. It's very humbling. And so it's good to think about those past moments way, way back of decisions that you made for the Lord and how you had a humble heart in doing that. And it's important to ask yourself, am I still recalling that when I hear messages up here? Do I still have that same childlike humility that I did when I got saved or when I decided to make a big step for the Lord? And so many times my mind goes back to that, but I want to give you about five R words tonight, and I didn't go on a Spurgeon.com or anything like that to get that. This is stuff that just kind of the Lord gave me, but I told you already my parents had passed away. My father had really bad diabetes, and he passed away when he was 64 years old. It was in 1999. I was 29 years old, and I was very close with my dad. We grew up in Fort Wayne. He taught me how to shoot a gun. There were many Saturdays that we would chainsaw wood to cut for burning. We would do everything together. We would go fishing. Before I was of age to drive, we would go to the Kmart parking lot, and I could drive his big truck. And just remember those times, times of bonding and times of unity. He would get a coupon book every year where you could go out for breakfast and it was buy one, get one free. And we would end up at the strangest restaurants, places you'd never even know was there unless you had that coupon. And on a Saturday morning, we would eat eggs and we'd take advantage of that coupon. But when my dad passed away, it was a real sad moment in my life. I was very torn up. I gave the eulogy at my dad's funeral. My mom said, "Chad, you ought to think about doing that full time." And I was 29 years old. I was not in a good church. And I said, "What do you mean, Mom? Do you want me to be a Catholic priest?" And she's like, "No, I want you to get married. I don't want you to be a Catholic priest. But maybe you could do that line of work somehow, some way." But after my dad died, God was my dad. And I decided in my heart that God was my daddy. And I had the greatest daddy. I mean, he's with me all the time. I know that. And so I just put my trust in the Lord. And I was working out in Connecticut at our company headquarters. I worked for a Unilever company for about 12 years. This is maybe year 6 or 7. And God stirred my heart, and he made me realize that I was not happy with all the success in my job. Now, my job at headquarters was an analyst, and often the vice president would ask a question, it would go down to the director, it would go down to the manager, and then it would come down to me. And I would find out the answer, and it would go right back up the ladder. And it was a very rewarding job. Got paid very well. But I cried out to the Lord one night at about midnight in my Connecticut apartment. And I said, "God, whatever it is that you want me to do, I'll do it. If it means giving up my job, if it means making a sacrifice of something, I'll do it. And I don't care what it is." And my first point that I want to give you tonight is that God recognizes you. He recognizes every good thing that you do for him. And it could be small, it could be big. He hears your prayer. The Bible says in Psalm 145, 18, it says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." And just the very next verse, he says, "He will fulfill the desire of him that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them." And so everything that you do for God, whether big or small, he sees you and he recognizes you. And that's our number one, is recognize. And so I just looking around here the last couple days, whoever filled up that bus on Saturday to take us all out soul, or on Friday, to take us all out on soul winning Saturday, God sees those efforts. He saw you at the gas station filling up to go to church. He sees you handing out that track. He sees you putting the Starbucks Pike's Roast next to the Keurig machine, which I enjoyed very much. Thank you. All the little efforts. I saw cars rolling into the church and trunk loads of different things coming out. And I thought to myself, wow, there's a lot of effort going in around here. And God recognizes that, and he loves the work that you do for him. I feel like God recognized my prayer in that Connecticut apartment when I was 29 years old, because 4 years later was when I got invited to go to church on Easter Sunday. And point number two is God rewards you. He's all about rewards. And if you're going to get a reward, why not get it from eternity? I mean, man can give you some money, but you're not going to take that with you. God has eternal rewards. And the Bible says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." But when you serve God, you can get rewarded by him. And that was exactly the battle I found myself in. Now, I wanted to be a good layman in a church, making a lot of money and giving to the church, because I felt like that was my path. But it was one morning I came to church, and my pastor sat me down. He said, "Chad, have you ever thought about going to Bible college?" And it was I was about 32 years old, and I just looked him point blank in the face, real quick response, and I said, no, Pastor, God doesn't want me to go to Bible college. I'm just going to stay right where I'm at, doing just what I'm doing. Everything's going to be just fine. And he's like, okay, I was just checking. And inside, it was like a bomb going off. I mean, just like an outright lie. And I thought to myself, Chad, you're lying to the preacher. You're going to get like struck down by lightning or something for that. That's not good. And it bothered me the whole service. I couldn't even hardly listen to the message. And just sitting there kind of twitching in my chair and giving an amen once in a while. And I drove home that afternoon. And wouldn't you know it, there was a house for sale in my neighborhood. It was the house right behind my house. Same style, same everything. Walked into that house. I said, how much are you selling this thing for? He's like, oh, it's already sold. This thing sold before it even came on the market. And we're just collecting names of people to market to them and sell them a different house. And I thought to myself, you know, the Lord is asking me to go to Bible college. Am I going to follow him? Am I, you know, he's given me the reward. He's given me the call. By the way, a call is like a reward. It's God's listening to you, and he's giving you a path. And I thought to myself, if I don't do it now, 32, 33 years old, I may not do it. And so I took up that offer that the Lord gave, and I decided to sell my house and go to Bible college. And the Lord blessed. He was all over that. The realtor got saved. The house sold in 30 minutes. And just a lot of good things were happening. But it wasn't easy. It was not a real clear-cut, easy decision. In fact, I had some struggles as a young Christian. I would drive home from my church, which was about 30 minutes away, and I would constantly come home and on a Sunday and look over in the corner, and I had a very large collection of CDs. Music was something that, you know, I was really into, and I knew that music was not honoring God, and so I didn't listen to those CDs, but they were there after I got reassurance and really started growing in the Lord. And finally, I decided I got to get rid of those things. They're bothering me. And so I put them in a big box, and I set them at the curb of my street for the garbage man to come. And this was on a Monday morning. And so I went to work Monday morning, came back, and I started scratching my head thinking, man, I put a lot of money into those things. And they're still sitting there. The trash guy hasn't come yet. Same thing on Tuesday. Came home Tuesday night, and I picked them up and brought them back in the house. I thought, I got to think this over a little bit. Naughty me. Terrible me. I didn't listen to them, just set them in the house. Finally, got convicted again, called a friend who had a nearby apartment complex. I said, Mark, what time does your trash guy come? Why? Why are you asking me that? I just got to throw something away. He's like, well, he comes on Monday morning. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna drop this stuff off. I can remember the weight of that box and the trajectory of throwing that box up into that big dumpster. And it was a great day to get that weight off my back. And we all have struggles as Christians, but God sees the efforts that you make. He recognizes you, and he wants to reward you for everything that you do for him. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. So he recognizes you, and he rewards you. The Bible talks about in the book of James and in Revelation the crowns for enduring temptation. And those times where you say no to man and yes to God, do you know there's rewards waiting for you up in heaven? Eternal rewards. Rewards that last forever, that you'll be able to cast at Jesus' feet. And so think about that. Let me ask you this. If you ever handed out a tract or gone to church, did you ever regret that? Did you ever regret coming to church and say, man, I wish I didn't go to the service? I mean, I personally can't think of a time like that. I heard one story in New Zealand about a tract being given to a man, and he physically ate that tract. In fact, that happened to Mark Bushy. He's related to one of the men here in this church. He ate the tract and swallowed it. And maybe one time you regret giving a tract, but most of the time you're going to give a tract, and you're not going to regret it. You say, wow, I'm glad God used me to do something like that. And you know, I wonder what Paul and Moses and David and Gideon think up in heaven. Do you think they regretted stepping out for the Lord and doing something for God? Do you think they're up in heaven saying, I wish I wouldn't have done it? Of course not. Of course not. And so anything that you do for God, there's not going to be regrets. And you're going to thank yourself in heaven for taking a step forward for the Lord. I want to tell you just a little story here. I packed everything in California after I sold the house to go to Bible college in a U-Haul. But the U-Haul wasn't big enough. I had a 26-foot U-Haul, which I believe is the largest one that you can get. Got to understand, I had all my parents' things, all my dad's fishing stuff, and you name it, furniture and different things. And moving to come back to Bible college in Indiana, and so I had a 26-foot U-Haul with a 12-foot trailer. And took off for the Sierra Nevada mountains, going up over Lake Tahoe there. Got to the base of the mountain, and it was snowing real hard. And a police officer had a checkpoint there, and he said, I'm sorry, this truck can't go over the pass. You're going to have to turn around and get chains and try it again. And, of course, the place was closed that sold chains, and so I found a cheap motel room and tried it the next day. And so next day it was snowing even harder, but I thought, you know what? I've got chains on this big truck. I'm going to try to do it. And got up close to the top, and the traffic came to a dead stop. And there was no traffic coming on the left. It was a four-lane highway. And we were all just sitting there, and pretty soon people got out of their cars. They started having snowball fights, and people turned their motors off. And I thought, wow, this is interesting. I hope everybody's okay. And I turned on the the radio, and sure enough, I was trying to find the news, but there was some music playing on a channel. And I'm ashamed to say that I listened to that. It was similar to that music that I threw away and chucked. Here I am off to Bible college. And I didn't enjoy it. I'm like, I know I shouldn't be listening to this. But the news came on shortly after that. You know what happened? A 26-foot U-Haul with a 12-foot trailer went off the cliff on the other side of the pass. And I thought to myself, wow, God's really trying to get my attention here. And I thought, surely he's not trying to kill me. But he's trying to say, you know what, Chad? I want to use you, but you've got to get rid of some things in your life. And that always stuck with me, that moment. Now, I don't believe in signs, and the Bible talks about that, but I do believe that the Holy Spirit leads your heart, and he definitely led my heart that day. And so God recognized the wrong that I did, and he also sent a signal, what I believe was a signal, to say, you know what, you need to stay away from that. Now, in Thailand today, people have a lot of false idols. They spend a lot of money to put things on the walls. They spend a lot of money on old necklaces that they see as valuable. And they're looking to get rid of those false idols. And I had a moment in my life where I had a false idol. I had a big stack of CDs. And God wants to use you. You got rid of your false idols at some point to help somebody else. And I feel like that's what the Lord was doing for me. And that's rewarding for me. It's refreshing to sit down with somebody that had a problem like mine. And God can use you in so many ways and reward you for that, and you won't regret it. But let me tell you that God, he not only recognizes you, rewards you, no regrets, but he represents you. He represents you. If God is calling you to do something above and beyond, to take a step forward, he's got your back. He's going to support you. The Bible, Matthew 6:29, says, "And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." And more verses in the book of Matthew 6:30 says, "Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? You know the questions that come to our mind? What are people going to think? If I do something really big for the Lord and step out and follow what he's calling me to do, what are people going to think? How much money am I going to make? I've got something secure. How's it all going to work out? And God says it'll work out. If you trust him, it'll work out. And he's looking for that person that has that humility factor that I talked about earlier, that childlike humility that says, you know what, I'm just going to follow the Lord, and I'm not going to pay attention to what the world is trying to tell me about making money, about people asking me and questioning me about my decisions. When I told my office that I was leaving the company to serve God, God backed me up pretty hard, because my vice president, he used to be a Catholic, but now he's a Christian. This is what he was telling me. He took me out to eat with all my coworkers, and some of them were churchgoers and some of them weren't. And he said, I just want you to know that Chad is leaving the company. He's going to go serve God. And I'd already told most of the people. I got really mixed reactions as I told everyone individually before that meeting. Some people were already saved. Those were usually the happier people in the office. And some people kind of looked at me and said, oh, yeah. They look at me like, why? What are you doing? And but my vice president said, Chad is leaving the company. And he said, I'm a little jealous because I wish it was I could do something like that. He said, I want you to pray for him and support him and think of him as he leaves the company. And so God has your back. He's going to take care of you if you decide to step out for him. And last point, God is real. God is real, and he's eternal. And everything that your preacher teaches you in the Bible, that's the real deal. That's not just here on Sunday and next year and next decade, but that's for eternity. And why not follow God and get eternal rewards for following him? The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. There's nothing better than following the Lord. You know, one of the great things about being on deputation is I get to be in some of the best churches, hearing some of the best singing, hearing some of the best preaching, being around some of the best Christians that I know all around the country, and that is a blessing in itself. But let me tell you, you'll never go wrong following the Lord. And if you've been serving in a ministry for a long time and you're thinking, maybe there's a titch in your mind that says, I don't know if this is going to go on for much longer, you will never regret staying on. And, the amount of work that goes into things, it doesn't matter. You're going to get eternal rewards for that. God sees that. He recognizes it. He rewards it. You're never going to have a regret, whether now or later, for doing it. And he's going to represent you, and God is real. And he backs up what he says. Job says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. You know, so much of what we do as Christians requires a balance of effort and humility. And I've learned that the hard way on the mission field, because it's real easy to become impatient on a real hot day, not knowing the language. The taxi driver speaks some weird Thai at you, and you go look it up, and you find out that he called you a crazy lunatic. And, you know, here you are trying to understand the language and grow in the language, and you get that. But God will always support your steps for him. And maybe God is working in your life in some way. Maybe he wants you to step up and do something a little bit more, something a little bit differently. And I'm just here to testify and give you my story that he really does back you up. And he really does take care of you. And he rewards your heart and encourages you for the steps that you take forward for him, no matter what the sacrifice. And he's real. He is the truth, the way, and the life. He is the one and real living God. And he's ready to recognize, represent, and reward you. The question is, are you going to have enough humility and enough ability to take that step forward. Let me tell you, if you do, you'll be real glad you did. There'll be no regrets, and there'll be rewards, whether it's here or up there. And I'm going to ask everybody to bow their head. Maybe God is working on you in a special way. Aren't you glad to go to a church where you can come to the altar and at least talk to God about it? You know, maybe He hasn't led you to make a decision yet, but maybe you need to talk to Him more about it and find out more. And if that's you tonight, I would just ask that you would come forward and get that settled with the Lord.